And we are back. Black and a Half, episode number 145.
145.
Welcome to Seattle's, still welcome to the longest running comedy podcast in Seattle. Probably.
Probably.
I'm one of your hosts, Silas Lindenstein.
I'm the other one of your hosts, Samantha Rund.
And we here together make up Black and a Half, which is a state of mind. It is a time. It is everything. It is what you are here for. This wonderful podcast that we're presenting to you live. Not live, but
But we are alive.
Mostly uncensored, uncut normally. There is a cut in this one because I had a technical malfunction in the middle of it. But we fixed it. I had no way, though, that I could actually cut it and make it not find out. And then I had to cut when Samantha...
Oh, I was like, you're trying to get away with that while I was yawning. Yeah, I did. I thought you were gonna out me for that. I really did. I'm sorry,
so
you guys.
So it'll be abrupt cut then, and yep. You'll hear it, and you'll hear me yell at her. Yep. That's what I planned how I planned to edit it. Normally I'm lazy. I don't want to do editing. I got other stuff to do. I gotta clean up dishes. There's laundry that needs folding.
Mm-hmm.
I've got several TV shows I've not even gotten to. So I don't have time to like edit and work on my craft. I got shit to do. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you get
the got shit to do episode.
Or I like to think of it as them. Like we just like to keep it so raw.
Well, actually, right? Yeah, you know. That's right, you know?
We bring it hard. Gangsta. Look, today's episode, Samantha and I discussed a new Netflix movie, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, based on the play by August Wilson. Long, rest in peace, August Wilson. So we spent a lot of time talking about that movie and what springboards from there about race and art and plays and stuff. So there shouldn't be too much spoiling about it's a friggin' play. You know, I feel less bad about spoiling plays though than I do movies. I don't know why, even though it's a movie. I don't know, because the play's been out there for a long time. So I'm like, whatever. And honestly, a lot of you folks aren't going to watch the movie anyway. Let's be real, right? You're just not gonna. You would have watched it by now.
Oh,
and Chadwick
really?
Boseman. I don't
Silas,
know.
Come on.
Chadwick Boseman is in this, and so you should watch it to honor
him.
And Viola Davis.
Yes.
I mean, she's not dead, but but my daughter loves her. She loves Viola Davis because she watches that How to Get Away with Murder so you get to hear her thoughts on this film and plays and August Wilson, a lot about August Wilson. So maybe you'll learn something about August Wilson. Maybe you should know more about him. Big black playwright from the United States that doesn't even get taught to people in their theater classes. Pulitzer Prize winner. Okay, I'm not bitter at all.
No, you're definitely not bitter.
No, not at all.
Right.
And if you watch the show, I'm in a very muted sweater. If you watch this, on the YouTubes or in the Facebooks, very muted tones. I don't know why.
And I am too. I'm just
no. You're
not
styling.
In a rainbow bright color scheme at all.
You're not. You're styling.
I know. I'm teasing you because my colors are bright.
I'm sepia, as you said earlier. I'm a sepia colored.
Sepia is actually
I'm a sepia.
What I said.
Is it sepia?
Well, I mean, that's what I said, but, you know, maybe you say sapia. You say sapia, I say sepia, sapia,
I argued
sepia,
with my daughter
sepia,
about
sepia,
this.
Sepia. Let's call the whole thing.
My daughter, she said tomato, the tomato, and I said, you know what? I don't know anyone who says tomato.
Did she say it with her pinky up, though?
No.
Tomato?
No, but she's saying, oh, it was like tomato, tomato. And I was like, you know what? I don't know anyone who's ever said tomato. I don't know anyone that says that. Not from the U.S. So I don't know where the hell that bullshit saying comes from. Or potato. Potato. Nobody says that. So it doesn't even make sense. Tomato.
I don't know, but now I'm tempted when... Well, actually, no, I can't do this.
If you go,
I was
going
to say, when restaurants open back up again, order it like that.
Hold the tomato.
And see,
hold
yeah,
the tomato.
Just try to get them to not
the,
like...
hold the tomato. The what? No, we just have tomatoes.
Do you have any potato chowder? just like mash up two different accents.
I like the potato chowder. I'm going to ask for that now. I'm going to, next time I go out in 2 years, when things yeah. open up again, I'm going to say, do you got any potato chowder? I like the potato chowder, please. whatever. Hey, today's episode is brought to you by, as always, actually, ooh, this is new. Brought to you by the Brotherly podcast, brother, the sister podcast, You're Buying a Home with Silas Lindenstein. That's myself. We're me as acting as a real estate agent from a boutique brokerage here in Seattle. I explain how to educate and empower home buyers all across the nation on how to buy a home, particularly for the first time home buyers. So if you're interested in learning how to buy a home, go ahead and listen to that podcast. Or if you are in Seattle and looking to buy a home or sell a home, you can always give me an email shout out. I don't know if that's a thing. An email shout out? Sure. Okay. At silas@blackandahalf.com. And this episode is also brought to you by
Beyond Technique Coaching. So if you're looking for a coach to help you use performance skills for voice, body, and mind to just enhance your life on or off the stage, we're talking auditions, job interviews, relationship stuff, staying entertained at home with the family, you know, the list goes on. So you can always reach me at beyondtechniquecoaching@gmail.com. And then you can listen to the sister or brother podcast, whichever one we're calling it now, to the other podcast that I do, Beyond Technique with me. We talk more performance-y type things on that as well.
And a big shout out to our Patreon members, Tara Widener, Stefan Ward, and Keith Nagel. They are big supporters of the show. We appreciate them. They help make this happen. And if you want to become a Patreon member, you can start for as little as $1 a month, and you become a member of the League of Extraordinary Listeners. Just go to patreon.com/blackandahalf. That's patreon.com/blackandahalf. Go to our Apple Podcast page and give us a 5-star review. That would also help and help spread the word about this magnificent, wonderful podcast that you're about to listen to. But yeah, so here we are, episode 145, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission.
I don't know, Samantha.
I don't know, Silas.
It's the parenting is like the greatest joy.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we tell ourselves a lot. It is. Hold on. Yeah, I'm just going to be washed out. Whatever. The things you don't... Like, if you have not had an experience with poop just everywhere, a son, a daughter walking around, whether they decide to use it as their paint... The kin as they make the
quill situation.
What do you call it? When you draw on a wall, starts with a mural. You know.
Oh, a mural. Yes. Mural,
or he's just like, oh, like what? We were running. My boy was so covered. Apparently, like the daughter came in and said, "Mommy needs your help right now."
Oh my goodness.
Right now, Daddy. I'm like, okay, and I was like all worried that. Like, oh, what? Did she cut herself? Like, I thought she cut herself, yeah. Whatever. And she's just like, explosion, boo, everywhere. He's got it all over him, in his hair, in his ear, on his hand. And so we're like, where else in the house is it? Because he just came in going, potty, potty. And so running around the house trying to find where he was. Found one spot, one little couch spot that there was. Well, my daughter found it when she put her hand in it. But so I grabbed the couch. Trying to get the cushion off. Someone put a custom cushion was put on it. As tight as possible. I don't know how I'm going to clean this thing.
Oh, my goodness.
But I think he didn't, like, because I couldn't find it anywhere. So we thought he must have been, like, rolling around.
Right.
But I think he just found it. And I think he was just, like, he was just putting it everywhere. Like, it's, you know, makeup. I don't know.
Oh, boy.
And the thing is, everyone has this. I'm trying to remember Willow's time. I don't remember Willow's time right now. I will later. But they all have this experience of crazy. It's just crazy. I don't know how it happens. But it happens to everybody. Everyone has a story about it. And you become like, it's amazing. Like Gretchen's always my wife. Things like mucus, she hates mucus. Was disgusted by it always, right? And then she's just like, you just got a kid. There's going to be a lot. You just have to go through it. Like, well, that's just, you know, what happens. And I know, like, even people don't have kids and they're listening to the show, they probably have dogs, and dogs do gross things too, right? You have to deal with dog situations. So... everyone deals with this, and I think that's love, right?
Yeah.
When you're willing to deal with their shit.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. You see how invested you are by the level of shit you're willing to put up with.
Literally. Like, it's a literal thing. It's not a metaphor.
Yep.
How much literal shit will you put yourself through?
Yeah, I do have to say for the listeners, because I'm assuming that you do not have a way to see my cell phone. I just never expected to get the message that I received from you, like 20 minutes ago.
Yeah.
We need to be late. Poop emergency.
Yeah, I need 15 minutes. Poop emergency. Yep. It's everywhere. Yep.
I thought that maybe you'd eaten something bad when you said poop emergency. I was like, oh no, what's happened to Silas today? But then when you said everywhere, I was like, oh, it's the kids. You said poop emergency. I thought you had some rumblies in the tumblies going on. I was like, okay, Silas, that's right. Yeah.
Rumblies in the tumblies.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I wouldn't write that to you.
Hey, you know, if you got to go, you got to go. You just can't think straight.
I think I would have just.
I was quite surprised.
I think I would have just been like, I would have blamed it on Gretchen.
You know what? If you ever do have a personal poop emergency before our podcast, I demand that you actually text me that exactly.
Okay. I mean, I guess this all could have been mine, and I'm just making it up about Finn. blame other things on him. Why not add to it? He can't defend himself. He doesn't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Before they're too old, blame them for everything. Samantha, you saw, speaking of poop, bottoms, right? There's a connection here.
Connection.
We saw Ma Rainey's black bottom.
That's right.
You saw.
I don't remember pooping that.
No, but bottom.
I know, I'm teasing.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, okay, August Wilson, right? He I did not know before I moved to Seattle that he was a Seattle playwright. I was pretty excited. I saw King Headley III at Seattle Rep. I think that was the only one I saw here. What's your feelings on the August Wilson?
You know, I do not know August Wilson plays as well as I should, and it was something that I never studied all my time at. Yes, they not in any one of my classes over 7 years of theater, undergrad and grad, I never had an August Wilson class. I know.
Wait, just wouldn't cover. He's like the of I black know. Writers, playwrights. Yeah.
Well, you know, but that's the thing. We didn't really study. I didn't really get to study. I don't know if I got to study any black playwrights. So it was stuff that I had to learn outside of
school. You study Williams and Ng, and like, what did you study? Tennessee Williams.
Oh yeah, Tennessee Williams, Ng. Pinter. Chekhov, Shakespeare, the Greeks, like, you know.
But not August Wilson?
That's right. Not to my memory. I mean, if I had a class and we studied it, I knew of Fences, but like if I had a class and we studied it and somebody's listening, they're like, we did. I'm like, I'm sorry, but I don't remember, which also goes to show you how little it would have been studied.
Right.
So, you know, it's something that like, I think.
I think he showed up in one of the classes. I definitely don't. Yeah. There was no in depth in my school for sure about him, but which is incredible because he is I guess I don't know a lot of black playwrights, to be honest. I'm trying to think of another that I'm blanking right now, but,
Lorraine Hansberry.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely did Raisin of the Sun. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like the language that he uses, the plays are so much about the writing,
mm-hmm.
right? More than anything. I used to make jokes about him, but like, I always just say like, oh, you want me to tell you? Oh, you want to talk about cars? I'll tell you about cars. Then he does a 10-minute monologue. And that's everything about cars. Let me tell you that, right? Like, it's so the language and it's so poetic. Doesn't move along. I didn't actually know until there's a Netflix show. I should have had you watch it. About an August Wilson playwright contest.
Oh.
A bunch of kids from inner cities all over and non-inner cities, but competing in this August Wilson contest, acting competition. So they're using his plays. Until then, I actually didn't know that he wrote that the cycle was of doing a play from each decade.
Oh, wow.
Were you aware of that?
No.
Yeah. That's so each one of his plays is supposed to be a different decade in America. And not supposed to be about any famous event, supposed to be hitting the mundane. Like Ma Rainey is probably the most, because that was I think it was a real person.
Yeah.
So that's the only one I think that's about a real person.
Wow.
The rest are just, you know, supposed to be the garbage man or whatever.
Right.
Like it's, and, but I knew August because I did a monologue from Ma Rainey's Black Bottom was one of the first early monologues that I did. So, I mean, it might have been age appropriate because I was like 19 when I was doing it. And it was, what's his name? The trumpet player. I'm blanking on his name. Is the lead.
Oh, Chadwick Boseman?
Yeah, what his character, his character's name.
Oh. Lenny? No.
No.
I'll look it up.
But I was doing the monologue about his mom, and what happened to her, and
oh wow,
yeah,
Levy,
that's right.
I was close.
Yeah, I Levy. Just didn't How about now?
Well, I mean,
now
I
you can hear. Okay.
Yeah, I was like, I could hear you. I think you couldn't hear me.
Technical error, folks. In the midst of that, I suddenly realized I had forgotten to plug in my internet. And it was only saying weak signal because all the doors had been shut. Uh-huh. So in my house, you know, like it just bounces. The internet bounces. And if I have my door open here in the studio in Club Silas, the Silas Cave, Bat Silas, whatever. If the door's open, we don't notice because the Wi-Fi gets in here. But then the second the Wi-Fi is not, hold on. The second the Wi-Fi is not, then it starts going off. So here I'm changing connections. Hopefully. We're there. Is that you? Is there something flying by you?
Yeah. That got real loud.
Suddenly?
Yeah, it did.
Oh. But here we are, Silas. We're talking. You know what? I should put a commercial in there. I'll just put a commercial. I'm looking for a trumpet? Go to Levi's. Go to Trey Martin's Trumpets and Horns. What was I saying? What was I talking about before I jumped up?
Who's Trumpets and
then
Horns?
I turned everything off accidentally.
You were talking about when you did a monologue.
Yes, I was so not. I didn't have the experience of that monologue, even if I had the age. I think that was the thing, like the monologue, like it said the age. Oh, the person's age in there, which Chadwick Boseman was not that age. Much older than. But you just don't have the, that's why you have to have like a 25-year-old play the 19-year-old, because a 19-year-old can't believably play a 19-year-old. You know,
like the
you
don't way have... that kind of 19-year-old was written.
Certainly not then. Yeah, certainly not that. Even now, I think it's hard to... as an actor. It's like I feel like you can play parts younger than you way easier than playing your actual age, because you don't have the wisdom to look back on. Right.
I think it depends. But yes, for the wisdom.
I don't know. So I look back now, but it was kind of weird hearing him do the monologue and me remembering it. Like, oh, yeah, no, I remember this.
Yeah.
That's cool. But then there was actually some choices that I was like, I think I played it a little like that.
That's cool. Yeah.
But I didn't think it was appropriate later. And I tell you, seeing the whole thing, way different than reading the play.
Yeah.
Reading the play is... like it's not meant to be read. It's meant to be heard.
Right.
I don't even know if you have to see it.
I'm curious, like, what sort of, because I haven't read the play, so I'm curious what kind of changes were made for camera. Because it wasn't like the play verbatim, you know.
Was it?
No, I think it was based on. I don't think it was actually like all of, I think a ton of it was from it, but. I'm gonna look that up.
I think I was surprised that it was so short. Because when you said Ma Rainey, when it's like, oh, I'm gonna watch.
I thought it was kind of long.
It was an hour and a half.
Wasn't it? I thought it was like 2 hours.
No, it was an hour and a half, and I was shocked because I was expecting. I remember seeing King Hedley III, and that was like a 3.5 hour film. And I thought I remember hearing that was a thing with August Wilson's plays. mm-hmm. was the longevity of them, you could say. They are a long thing to experience. But yeah, what do you think of the film though?
I'm gonna have to look that up later about the
yeah.
I mean, the acting was amazing.
If you hadn't told me, if I didn't know Viola Davis was in that, I wouldn't even know that was her.
Right. I mean, there were some things that were still like very her, like certain looks that she would give and things like that, because, you know, people have their own essence.
Yeah. But I don't think I've watched her enough to have known, like, if you didn't tell me.
Like, she certainly transformed, but there were just some of her classic looks and things that, like, shit
transformed. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I hope. I don't know how they're doing Academy Awards next year without theaters, but. Because the rules about having things released in a theater, at least for a weekend.
Yeah.
Like, I hope they waive it, because as a best performance, I mean, that transformation is amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know why when I read it, I don't know if I was just naive when I read it or if I didn't actually read the whole thing, but I didn't know that Ma Rainey was, I don't remember the lesbian aspect of it.
I think she's bisexual. Actually,
okay,
yeah, but certainly in the movie it seemed that she was just leaning one way.
I did not read, yeah, well, but to be fair, bisexual, she could, there's just nothing in that story.
Yeah,
there's no guy in the story at the moment for her, so that could have been fine. I didn't remember that. I was like, whoa, oh really? And I was like, at that time, really? That's amazing that she was so bold at that time. In the Black community too, like, whoa. Chadwick was like, I mean, he was wonderful, but it was a little harder to watch, realizing he didn't lose weight for the role.
That's good. I know, that's just like made me emotional, like, yeah. Unexpectedly. Yeah.
I realized, oh, he must have been sick then, and he probably said it was for the role. Like, wow. But he's definitely somebody I'm like, now that he's gone, I feel like, wow, I did not appreciate him like I should have.
Well, I think it's often the case that people aren't appreciated as much as they should be.
Yeah.
And because he's a younger actor, I mean, he wasn't like a teenager.
Right.
But I didn't get to follow a lot of his movie career. Like, he kind of, you know what I mean? Like, he kind of got on my radar later.
Yeah.
You know, I think for probably a lot of people, right?
Yeah. Oh, that dude. Yeah. I like him.
Yeah.
Oh, Black Panther. Yeah. Oh, he's going to be awesome. And now I'm like, oh yeah, I'm a huge Chadwick Boseman fan. Yeah. Let me go. I'm looking back to find movies that he was in. Mm-hmm. But I mean, he did. No, he played that. He played his role so nice in that. And then one of the guys, one of the tall. There was a tall guy who was kind of like the leader, mm-hmm. of it, who got a knife pulled on him early. He is in Fear the Walking Dead. He's one of the main characters.
Oh, cool!
And so it was nice when he popped up. I'm like, oh yeah.
Yeah,
he's in this. This is and it was a very different character for him, mm-hmm. too. It was just something. It was very neat.
It was. I thought it was a great film. It was not easy to watch. I definitely got upset for part of it. I mean, how could you not? Especially if you're a person of color. I mean, I got straight up pissed off several times.
Did you?
I think I was mad for several hours afterwards and possibly into the next day. Like,
really?
Yeah, man. I mean, racism, sexism, stuff like that. Like, just the way that she had to fight to try to get her respect. I mean, towards the beginning, I admit, like, not really knowing the whole character and seeing the play, not seeing the whole movie yet, obviously, my first or I'm just thinking like, wow, why is she being so unpleasant? Like, seriously, yeah. I was thinking that. And then I see more of her life and more of her experience. And it's like, God, how would she not be so unpleasant?
Yeah.
I mean, she is like the diva. She is like the number one, right, in her genre and making them a ton of money. And the way that they treat her and the way that she has to like just fight to keep getting respect. And, you know, and then Leve or Chadwick's character, the way that they, the music producers like steal from him.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that he was without fault, that character, but just like, just all of these injustices and stuff. Like, I'm not watching it like it's fiction. You know, I'm watching it like this shit is happening and it's pissing me the fuck off and I'm swearing about it. I'm angry. I'm like watching Viola Davis. Like, yes, she is one of my all-time favorite actors. And I think she is a wonderful human from what I know of her. Yeah. And so like, she's somebody that I like, it's kind of funny to say like, this is a person I care about, even though I don't know her. Like, I care about her as a human being,
yeah.
You know, and she's so inspiring. And, you know, I've watched some of her interviews. I think was this one on 60 Minutes or something, about just, she has all these awards. She's won. She's like one of the most
prolific,
accomplished actors of all time.
Yeah.
And she still has to, it's like, she still has to fight to get a seat at the table. Like, she still has to say, people are like, hey, guess what? You're like Black Meryl Streep. And it's like, great. Well, then why don't you pay me like that?
Yeah.
And so I couldn't help wondering how much of like when she, like some of her monologues where she'd talk about that, like being this, making them that much money and still having to like be like, respect me. I was wondering how much of that was also connected to like probably, the real life stuff, right?
Yeah, probably pretty easy to connect with that.
Right? You know? So, but I do have to say that scene where she drank that Coca-Cola.
Uh-huh.
All the way down. I was thinking two things. I was like, well, a couple things.
Power.
I think first, I was like, I want one right now. I really want. Oh, that looks so refreshing. And the second thing I was thinking is like, how on earth did she not have like a 5-minute burp after that?
She might have.
I know, right? If I had to do that, I probably could have downed it. But then after, I'd be like, okay, guys, close your ears for the next 10 minutes. It's just be like Tyrannosaurus. It's like too much carbonation. You can't help it.
Right, right.
You know?
You know, sometimes when I watch these, sometimes refer to it as an ultra black movie. Like, it's all about being black so much. Sometimes I watch it and I'm like, God, I really am mixed, huh? Like, I don't have that. I didn't have a lot of, it's so much further in the future, but like, I don't have it like them. I never had it like them. And if I was back then, I don't think I would have had it like them. I probably would have gotten off a lot. Probably. And so sometimes I feel like less black when I watch it. And I'm like, I'm all into it. I'm like, I'm watching my story. This is the history. This is my history, and I'm into it. Love a black movie. Love a black cast. And then I'm like, I'm so privileged right now. I'm so privileged.
Do you know, feel free to cut any of this out. I know you're probably not going to cut it.
No,
but I'm
going
to ask a question that might be like TMI. I know.
For me?
And I try to not
for
ask
me,
like
TMI?
I know, right? I'm just like, is this TMI for you? But can you remind me, Silas, were you raised predominantly by one of your biological parents?
Like half. I was done by half.
Oh, half.
Like
okay.
Literally. I spent the first early years with my dad up until sixth grade.
Okay.
I mean, they were both together, I guess, for a couple of years. I don't remember any of that. But then I mostly had my white dad who really pushed stuff on me. Like, so I watched Roots. I have a joke about this. How I watched Roots like in fourth, fifth grade. I watched it because he wanted me to know
and
that racism was out there.
And my mom was black,
but when I went to live with her, I also lived in like an all white, it was like a white town. We were the black people. And she was such a good code switcher. Like, you know what I mean? Like, she,
I mean, I do, but also, like, I'll get into that.
She switched between this sort of Jamaican talk that her husband was from, though she wasn't Jamaican, but she always talked like it with him. But then she would switch to this Massachusetts lingo. Like, she just sounded like she's from Mass. And, like, she really would put on a white voice. Like, when you see the jokes about it.
Yeah.
She totally would when she, because she was a, she did telemarketing for a while.
Oh, wow.
And yeah. She was such, she was a liar. She, like, she sold meat. She sold steaks online. Not online, on the, over the phone. Telemarketing.
Right, yeah, online before there was an online.
And she would call telemarketing to sell steaks, frozen steaks. That they ship to you, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She was like the top salesperson.
Wow.
She had also been a vegetarian for 30 years to that point.
Hey, you know what? More vegetables for her then.
Yeah, well, she was telling, she said she was like, well, is it really that good? And she's like, this is the juiciest steak I have ever, ever had. She just lied. She's a salesperson. She was so good at it. Yeah, and, so I didn't grow up. I was excited to go to college because I was going to take black studies and I was like, I'm going to have black friends. Like, I thought it was going to be so cool. And then I got into theater. And so that killed that, idea. And all the black, and that was, then I went to black studies. And then the first things I'm hearing is stuff about like how interracial relationships are wrong. And I was like, well, what? Oh, but that's what I'm from. That's what I know.
I was like, that's not necessarily part of a black studies class.
I know, but it was a militant black teacher.
Yeah. And
would bring up, some people would bring it up, things up. That was like, it was cray cray.
Yeah. That's uncomfortable.
I had to find my black friends outside of the black studies class.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always been like looking in to black culture. I've never been rarely surrounded by it.
Mm-hmm.
Not even, because even my mom, like even her as a black person, she was raised in the white town and most of her friends were white. And then when she went black, she went Jamaican.
Mm-hmm.
So that wasn't like U.S. black culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, until she had kids and they were the black community. They were the black community in the town.
Yeah.
My siblings. Yeah.
I was just wondering because I couldn't remember which one of your parents was white and which was black. And then I was just thinking, it's just occurred to me. I'm like, oh, well, you know, a lot of times you say like, you feel like you're not black or you don't have like the black experience. So I was actually wondering, I was like, I wonder if Silas's mom was white then. Yeah. Cause I feel like I feel like if my mom were white, I don't know if I would feel the same in terms of like really identifying. I'm as mixed, but also as black too.
Because you were with her most of the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and, but you were in Montana too.
Well, my mom grew up in Canada. Like my mom did. There was I don't remember any code switch.
Are you Canadian?
No, otherwise we could have gone back.
That's what I'm saying, like, you could
But I'm not a Canadian citizen.
Could you? Be?
I don't know. Like, Keanu, you listening? Wait,
is she Canadian? Your mom?
No, I don't, not any, I mean, my mom has lived in the States for such a long time, you know, I don't think that she's still,
you know, it doesn't run out. Like if you're a citizen, they don't expire.
It's, well, I guess that's something we can look into.
Go get it. Go get that.
I mean,
you realize how much work you could get?
She's an American citizen though.
Oh, too bad.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Well, you know,
Yeah, but there's so much work in Vancouver. That's what I'm like. Immediately, I'm like, no, are you I sure know. You can't it would, get it? Come on. Well, you could be on Supergirl.
Oh, see, that'd be great. That'd be great to... I miss acting.
Don't be your manager.
I know. I'm all like,
well, then you could
so
go
much.
Up there and be in the bubble.
Yeah. Oh, but you know, I don't remember my mom ever doing code switching. I don't remember like any stuff like that. So,
well, if you're in Montana, there's nowhere to switch.
Sure, you switch when you come home and you talk shit about everybody else. But I don't remember any of that
home.
Ever happening.
Okay, I was thinking.
Yeah. I know. It's just like
around everybody, other choice. Folks.
No. Yeah. Anyway, that was a segue from Ma Rainey's Black Bottom.
No, but that's what Ma, here's what I love about, like, he talks, these monologues bring up so much.
Yeah.
It is, and it's why I like theater. I mean, theater, what?
Okay, what? So obviously there's going to be spoilers in this episode because I already gave a couple as well.
Yeah.
But, so, when you see, when, Levy, when he's all talking big and bad about like how he knows how to handle the white man and blah blah blah. And you guys, listeners, you can rest assured, you always know that Silas and myself are not racist because we're mixed. So we do not hate half of ourselves. Right. We do not hate you either. So when I say stuff like this, don't worry. Anyway, but he would be like, yeah, no, I know the white man, blah 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 blah, right? And so then what happened?
Hey,
I said there were going to be spoilers.
That's a major spoiler.
I said there were going to be spoilers.
Yeah, that's different than the plot of the film.
You're
like,
oh,
it was a major thing of the.
I know.
Oh, except when the butler did it.
I said spoilers.
There's going to be some spoilers. By the way, they murdered them. They are the murderer of the whole thing.
Okay, you know what? I don't have as much practice as
Hold on. I just marked that. I'm going to actually edit because
I'm sorry.
Not ruining the actual film. Oh. But there's a lot of aggro attack.
Yes.
Attacking between the black folk. And I couldn't tell if it's like chumness for a little bit.
Well, I just, I'm not going to do a spoiler again.
Yeah.
But it was just kind of seeing like when people can't, they feel like they can't get their justice against those that are in power. So they go about it in their own ways among their own people. And obviously, like we see how much that plays out today. Not just within our own communities, but also like within various classes.
Yeah.
Like, you know, poor people just blaming other poor people because they can't get to that 1% to change things for them. So you take it out on the person you can take it out on, you know?
Yeah.
Not cool.
What? Another cool thing about the film versus the play? Hearing the music.
Oh.
Because in the play, you're just reading it. And I'm like, I don't know what this is.
Yeah. What is it?
I don't even know if they're real songs.
Right.
I feel like I remember a song at the end.
Mm-hmm. One thing, though, like, because it has been pretty much just all praise on our ends, I think, because it was a great film. I do have to say, though, that watching plays that are made to movies, I do kind of miss the movie dialogue a bit.
Oh yeah.
I mean, because it's going to be way more you can tell. Yeah, it's written for the stage. It's way more verbose, like the way people talk, it's just different, and it's still great, but it's like it would, you know,
it's pretty stationary. They did a good job of making things happen outside of the stage, sort of. They did a really good job with that, but it is funny whenever I do see something that I know has been made from a play.
Yeah.
Like I'm aware that it's a play, but when I start realizing they're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, this was a play. They're not going to go anywhere. This is, I, And in some ways it takes a little bit out of it for me because I know it's not changing scenes and I'm like, oh, this is just going to be about the night. Okay.
I have to remind myself to be more patient.
Yeah.
It did take more of my attention. It really did.
It's not an action filled film. So if you're looking for action, this isn't it. I think I liked Fences better.
Ooh. Fences. I don't know. It's so Fences different and
so
again, good. Very good.
I was trying to think of metaphors. Like Fences was an obvious metaphor, obvious metaphors of building fences and mending fences and separating, you know, lots of things, but where this was just like, I was like, what's the metaphor? What is the metaphor for this? What is this about? Is this slice of life? What is this? I don't know. It's a good point. I like that it exposes it to the work to more people, for sure. I do sometimes wonder, like, why? I don't know. Because we're not used to monologuing. Like, the monologues, we're just not used to that in film, at least anymore. Right? So it almost is a little jarring. We're like, I don't know. I don't know what it is. I'm just not used to monologues in films anymore.
Mm-hmm. I feel like you had a question and then you started talking about
I just have a question about, I mean, whether it's, part of me is like, should we adapt plays?
I think it's just for the, yes.
To tell the story.
Yeah. You know, it was a powerful story. And there's so much content out there and there's so much content that we're consuming and
might as well.
Well, I mean, I feel like any project, it's like somebody that feels passionate about it, that cares about it. And then they find a group of people that also cares about it and then they release it and whatever percentage of humanity is going to connect with it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they put out so many horror movie pieces of crap every year because people love watching it. They just,
it's the easiest genre.
I know.
To sell,
I told you that.
No, someone else told me that.
I did.
Oh, Kelsey told me that. Kelsey told us that.
Okay.
Right? She was on the show.
Yes, but I'm pretty sure I told you that. But either way, it's okay. Maybe we both told you that on the same episode, which is totally fine. I'm not saying that, like, I mean, people love horror movies. I'm just saying that, like, you don't see people sitting around like justifying, like, oh, do we need another one of these horror movies? They just make it. So like, if people want to make plays, I know, but you know what I mean, right? Like,
yeah, I don't know. I just wonder if it, like, does it, I'm like, sometimes I'm like, does this serve the, this piece was not written for this medium. And I'm like, but most people aren't going to go to a play either. Like, this is way easier to expose them. And then I'm
a lot of people don't have access to it.
Yeah.
Or can't afford it.
Hopefully they'll go. Let's get them to go see a play. At some point, it's just, the language is so beautiful in it. And
yeah. Man. And Viola can really deliver those monologues, man. I mean, the whole thing she can deliver, but when you were talking about Fences, I don't remember a lot of the movie, but I still one of her monologues.
Oh, she was in Fences?
Yes, yes.
Wow. Oh, yes. Is this a thing now? She's August Wilson's? Like, she's going to show up in every movie adaptation now?
I don't know, but I'm not mad at it.
Yeah.
You know? And that, her monologue back from there, oh yeah, it stayed with me, man. So good.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
So good. It's like one of the only things I remember clearly from the movie.
That's funny because I remember I have the scene, him talking to his son. Who says I gotta like you?
Oh yeah.
Who said? Denzel is just so, so good.
Yep. Yeah.
It do movies like this though make you miss acting more than like than watching like a Marvel movie?
Well, Marvel movies don't make me miss acting because I've never gotten to be a Marvel type character. But, like, but I mean, it would be cool.
We don't.
And this movie though, I was like, oh, I'd be the floozy. That's what I would get cast as. I would have got cast as the floozy.
Well, but between which characters?
Right. There's like, two women.
Yeah.
And that would have made me the floozy.
Yeah.
But you know, I did see something, and I need to answer your question, but you remind me of another article that I saw with somebody who is, you know, much more well-versed in the canon of August Wilson plays. And they said that, like, you know, while yes, he, you know, is a tremendous playwright and all this, but a lot of it, you know, it's so male heavy,
yeah.
Which male playwright. Okay. Yeah. Understandable. But that a lot of times that the women, it's like two. It's like the young floozy or the party floozy and the mm-hmm. long suffering, strong black woman.
That's like the two. Describes what I grew up with. Just those were the two women I knew.
Well, you know, there's also just like that construct for women in general too. Like, you know, the whore, the Madonna, like yeah. just the, you know, and it's just. That was another thing that the movie was illustrating to me as well.
Well, I mean, it was also a pretty sexist time too. Like,
right. But you know, like women are still kind of fighting for that, like getting to have their full range of their character.
Yeah.
Not just having to fall into like one or the other category.
It's these old movies do remind not I mean it's not an old movie, but old periods remind it like
yeah.
it was pretty awful for everybody except the white male.
Actually, that's what I was gonna say. I was like, oh,
it's amazing. Like, it's so weird that for so long history just like was like, oh, whatever, okay, there you go. Like, that women didn't even fight it that much. Like, no, yeah, okay, let them. I mean,
I don't know that they didn't fight, but
they could have killed them all.
Being yes,
there's always been more women, so if they I wanted mean, to you uprise, know, they could have.
Right, there's always the Lysistrata version.
Yes,
right.
Maybe that should have been more of a.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
let's do
yeah.
this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, sometimes I'm like, I'm thankful for when I'm here now.
Yeah.
Oh now. Yeah. It's awesome.
In 2021.
In 2021, yeah. I'm really glad to be here in 2019, 2018, 2021. Last year could have skipped that. But like things are so good. Like as much as we have racial strife and still things happening, like every 10 years you go back, we'll be like, oh yeah, it was worse. There wasn't like a pocket that it was like, oh well, things are better now. Like, no, it was pretty much every 10 years it's gotten better than it was, and not just for black people, just for like for most people, and technology. Like, I'm excited that I can still think about if this pandemic had happened in 1992. Fuck.
It wouldn't have happened in 1992.
Why?
I think people travel way more now.
Well, yeah, but it could have.
Yeah, I know. It wouldn't have spread as quickly.
It would have happened.
No, you would get this note in class and it would be like, hey, do you want to be COVID positive? Type yes. Or check no. So, like, pass you a note in class and check the box for yes or no.
Like, we would all have been on party lines or something to talk to people, right?
Yeah, no, I do get what you're saying. Like, it sucks that there's a pandemic, but on the silver lining, it's great that we have technology to help keep us connected somehow.
Connected and to do things like...
And to watch movies.
Oh my God, what if... Oh my God, a pandemic happened and most people didn't have a VCR? Oh. It was like, we just sit at home and read books. Oh, misery. Bunch of board games. Oh, that's fun. That would be fun. A lot of Dungeons and Dragons. But
So is a good book though, man. I haven't really been in the mood much lately.
Yeah.
No, I just haven't. I haven't been reading much lately. I've still been binged a ridiculous amount of The Sons of Anarchy. Did I start last week? I don't know, but I'm already like on the final season, on season 7 now.
Uh-huh.
It's ridiculous. I cried. I know, something that happens in season 6 is so upsetting. I cried for like 5 minutes. It was horrible. The acting was phenomenal. Anyway, go ahead.
All my shows have ended now, like for the seasons, like my Star Trek Discovery and the Mandalorian. I am almost done with Glow on Netflix, third season. And I am a little pissed off now because they were going to do another season, but they canceled it.
Oh.
Because they just had to cancel the rest of the series because they couldn't shoot it. They're having trouble shooting, and I don't know why they couldn't just say, okay, we're going to come back in 6 months or something. Probably dealing with schedules and stuff. So they said, probably. Well, it's over. Like, motherfucker, no.
Mm-mm.
I wanted to finish this.
Have you seen Community? Did I already ask you that?
I've seen episodes. I do enjoy it, but I didn't start to finish it.
I was kind of a late joiner, but that's another thing we watch now, too.
Oh, another. But I was going to say, one thing I've started doing that's new is I've never been an audiobook person. Uh-huh. Like my mind wanders when I'm listening to them. But one thing I've found now is I've started doing some Malcolm Gladwell books. I think I can do. And I've done some comedians ones in the past. I think I can do audiobooks that are like nonfiction or biography because then it's just kind of like a podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like listening to a story,
it's different. It's not like painting the scenery and all that.
Right, right. And so I don't have to like go off of my own dialogue and my own thoughts and so now my audible.com membership that I've tried, like, this is worth it.
Nice.
Because I'm in the car enough that I do. It does help.
How much do you like on average drive a week?
Well, it vary because I'll not go anywhere for 2 months, and then or a client will be local, right?
Yeah.
And then suddenly I have somebody that it's 45 minutes to start their houses.
Oh, wow.
And then we're looking for a month.
Yeah.
2 days a week. I've been to Everett. I have clients currently in South Seattle and up in Everett.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's a stretch.
Yeah. So I'm going all over right now. So my driving went way up than it has been right now. So those times are good when I'm in the car for 40 minutes, listen to that. So I don't listen to MSNBC.
Actually, yeah, that's a good point. When I would have like a long commute, I would listen to stuff. Yeah. We didn't even talk about the news.
No. Why? Something going on?
Anything happening in the world? What's that? Are people seeing a different treatment? It's just like going on my soapbox about what? But I've seen anything in current events that would make me upset.
Nothing's really happening.
What? Speaking of poop on
smooth
the walls.
Smooth and peaceful transition of power as we are known for. That's nothing weird happening in the United States. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you're talking about. Samantha.
Speaking of, okay, thanks for calling me my whole name, which you always do. but
I try.
Like, yeah, you know, how do you correct somebody? Like, how do you correct somebody without it being harsh? Because, you know, I like to be called Samantha. A few people, they call me Sam, and it sounds cool. Most people, they call me Sam, and I don't like it, but it's interesting. I don't know.
You're the first person that I've wanted to call a short name without being told to. I don't know why.
Ah, because we're buds.
I mean, right when I met you, for some reason, I was like ready to shorten it. And I don't do that. I try to be respectful because I don't like my name shortened. But it's shortened all the time by my family.
Ah.
My dad just calls me Cy.
So you saw me and thought of me like family. That's why you wanted to shorten my name.
But I can't, you know, one, I can't tell my dad what to call me. Because he could have named me Cy. Could have called me Munchkin Burger. That would have been my name. So I don't feel like I can correct them. Other people I do kind of like, I'll mock them. I'll just shorten their name.
Right. If
their name's Matt, I'll go, hey, Matt. Yeah, Matt.
See? I have this.
And if they don't get it, then at some point I'll go like, I prefer to be called Silo. And nowadays I think they should respect that more since we're now more into we don't dead name people and we pronoun people the way they want. I think people will probably be a little more receptive to it than they normally are.
Yeah.
If they said Sam, just go Samantha.
Yeah. Well, if it's one-on-one, it's easier. But over email,
Sam.
I used to do a thing where I just ignore somebody until they say my name correctly. That often helps.
Oh, I love that. Oh, man.
Because then I don't have to correct them.
Was that before you moved to Seattle?
Oh, no.
Is a Seattle thing.
To ignore them?
No, that's a nice passive-aggressive, like, I'm just,
oh, really? I felt like it was pretty aggressive because I wouldn't just so ignore passive. Them. I'd also be like sharpening something with a shiv. No, just kidding. Just like, say my name. No, just kidding. No, but you know what it was? It wasn't to be passive aggressive, but it was also to like stop the habit before it started. Cause I found it was so hard to get people to stop once I let them. So it was like, if I just don't answer, if I don't respond, then they can only get my attention when they say my whole name.
I have to call Gretchen mommy now because
That's right, honey.
And started calling her honey.
Yeah.
And babe.
Right.
Hey, babe. And calling me babe too, babe.
Yeah.
Like what? No. Okay. Guess we're saying mommy and daddy.
Yep.
That's been pretty funny. Or sometimes Willow be like Silas. I'm like, no, no, you don't do that.
That's so cute. That's so funny.
No, you say
my nieces. Well, no, my nieces, they always still call me Auntie Samantha. But sometimes my sister will say in front of my nieces, she'll say, well, when I was talking to Samantha, and I'll go Auntie Samantha. Auntie. And she goes, I'm not calling you Auntie Samantha. You're not my auntie. And I say, well, you're talking about me to the kids. They're right here. They need to hear you say Auntie Samantha.
Do you not like to be called just your, like if they're talking to you, you want to be called Auntie Samantha?
Oh, with my nieces? Oh, yeah. For sure.
You don't want auntie. Them just to say.
They could call me, they could just say Auntie. They could just say Auntie.
But if they just say Samantha?
Oh, no.
Mm-mm. No?
No.
Okay.
No. Yeah.
Then the black head bob comes out. Okay. No, you don't do that. No. Sometimes I feel weird as a grown man, though, calling my Uncle Doug. Like, Uncle Brad. Like, I feel weird. Like, we're both grown now.
Oh.
Uncle Brad.
Like, I don't know. Like, I'm not, like, I haven't
I
seen
say
my,
it, but I can't I go like, yeah. Brad.
Yeah.
Brad. No, I gotta say Uncle Brad.
Well, I felt weird when my friends, some of my friends' parents, they would tell me, call them by their first name. And I would just try to avoid calling them anything because I wouldn't want to call them mom or dad. I mean, they're not my mom or dad. And then I'm just like, Mrs. or Mr. is too formal. And then they say their first name and I'm like, that seems too chummy. So I would just try to avoid saying their name at any costs.
Okay.
Just wait until they're in eye line and say, how you doing?
My wife's family. Right?
Yeah.
So I don't call her mom, mom.
Right.
I know some people do that though.
Yeah.
But when she says when I was introduced to them, like family early on, I wasn't married to them, to her. So they're like, oh, this is their Aunt Peggy. And she goes, I'm Margaret. She goes by Margaret, unless you're family. And so I've always called her Margaret. And I'll call her Aunt Margaret.
Right.
She's not my aunt, really.
Yeah.
Not really. But I've never been told I can call her Peggy or Aunt Peggy.
Like, oh, wow.
So I'm like, well, do I ask or do I? Those are just, that's Tom and Margaret. And for Gretchen, it's Uncle Tom and Aunt Margaret. Right? It's a weird, there's dynamics.
Yeah.
It's odd for me. Sometimes I think it's odd for me to call her mom her name.
Yeah.
And I don't say Miss Meyer. It's just so formal.
Yeah.
I don't know. We are weird as adults with that how we want to be recognized.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, I think we're in a time now that we should really, I think, probably respect it more than any other time. So yeah, don't let anyone call you. I see you said a letter though. Someone wrote a letter and said, hey, dear Sam.
Oh my goodness. Yes. They wrote an email. Sam. It's like, hello, my email address has my name in it. And when I signed off, I said my whole name, learn how to read.
That is what's weird. People don't get that when you do your whole name and they don't respond to it. That is a little odd. That's, I feel like not knowing.
Maybe yeah, that should, really bothers me. It really bothers me when I introduce myself to her. I say like, hi, I'm Samantha. And they're like, hi, Sam. I'm like, no.
No, no.
I just said my name.
It should say Sam Beckett stepped into a quantum accelerator and vanished. I'm Samantha. Do you know Sam Beckett? Okay.
I was thinking Samuel Beckett. Yeah, yeah. The playwright, Samuel Beckett.
But Sam Beckett is from Quantum Leap.
Oh, Quantum Leap. Yeah, I do actually. Yeah, yeah. I used to watch that. Yes. Okay, I know.
And
yeah.
Vanished.
I haven't seen that in ages.
I have this image of the inauguration of Biden starting to give the inauguration speech. And then just the halo of blue turns around him and Sam jumps to the next to the next spot. He's fixed it. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Trump's out. Finally. Now I can.
Oh, my goodness.
Now I can jump over.
So I sent you this. I sent you this post, or I don't know if you saw it earlier today. I saw it on Facebook and I was like, aha, I got it. I didn't want to tag you. So I just, sent you the message. Yeah, the dude that had the horns and the painted face that was waving the flag on the end, he's now upset because he's refusing to eat because he has to only eat organic food.
I thought that was a joke.
And I don't know. It's the New York Post. Do they make jokes?
Well, I thought it was a joke until I read something like there's follow up going like, no, this is a real thing. But yeah. I guess, but also apparently they believe he's doing it to play the system because you can force them to do things by doing some stuff, I guess, or something. I kind of read the synopsis of what somebody else was synopsising. So I don't know if that's true, but
I laughed so hard when I saw that. Yeah. And like the thing is, like, I'm generally want to be empathetic towards people and everything like that. And organic, that's good. Like the more you can eat organic, that is good, but it's just
you're in jail.
And it's just, man, that juxtaposition That's why it made me laugh so hard. I'm like, really?
There was a big thing about like a transgender person not being able to get surgery being in when they're in jail because they want to get the surgery to change sex assignment to get assigned the proper sex, right? But it was like there was a murderer, and I was like, yeah, I was like, yeah, but they're a murderer. I don't think you should. Part of me is like, first off, I don't even think they should get organic produce. So I can't go with anything else. Like, if I'm starting there, I don't know if I can, like, I'm going to help them because they're a murderer. I'm against it. So some part of me is like, yeah, it's making them suffer, but fucking they killed somebody. Yeah, no, if they had a traffic violation, yeah, take care of it. I don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't care. I believe all this stuff should be free anyway. So what do I? I don't care, right. But if we're going to punish someone, like, I don't know. But I guess the cruel and unusual thing is clause, I guess. Constitution, schmonstitution, whatever. Well, we don't follow that anymore, do we? Not this age, right? That's not, seems to be a.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
No.
I don't know, but according to the Hamilton soundtrack that I listen to all the time.
Rock it out. All right, Samantha, this has been a fine hour.
Yes, it has been.
Of Ma Raininess, of poop, of names, name discussion. As always,
yes,
it's always a pleasure to spend the black and a half hour with you.
And with you, and also with you.
What time is it? It's about black and a half. What time is it?
Oh, 9:30.
No, it's black and a half.
Black and a half time.
For some reason, I thought we said. Did we ever say like 9:30? Oh no, it's half past nine. So it's like half past black.
Yes, it's 9 2/4.
9 2/4. That should be our show. 2/4. 2/4. Live long and prosper.